Well, he just wants you to be encouraged. Jesus, he said this. He said, this commandment have I received of my Father. I have the power to lay my life down, and I have the power to take it up again. What was he saying? He was talking about that the Father, as a free moral agent, like every one of us are, we're free. And he was free. He was free to lay his life down. He could go to the cross. It would be a choice that he made. Or he could take it up again. Meaning, he could decide. Now it does something to my brain, like, well, then how would all of this been accomplished? In fact, Jesus said the same thing, made the same statement. But if I don't do this, then how will the Scriptures be fulfilled? Nevertheless, the truth existed in the heart of God that Jesus truly had the choice. You say he had to. He had to do it. He said, I have this choice. I have this commandment. I can lay my life down or I can pick it up. Meaning, I don't have to if I so chose not to do this. Because this is how your Father, this is who he is. Your Father mandates no love from anyone. That's just his nature. If you'll love him, it'll be because you choose to love him. And once you're inside of him, you're inside of him. Once you're born again, you're born again. Jesus had the new nature that secured his place in all eternity to be beside the Father. But then he asked the same question I would ask. Then how would the Scriptures be fulfilled? Nevertheless, on a part that I can't hardly imagine, he said, nevertheless, I still have the choice. And it bumfuzzles. I don't know if that's a word to you, but it's one to me. It blows my brain. He knew he was going to do it. Because the Father could look ahead and say, he will go ahead and go to the cross. But nevertheless, Jesus was saying this, and this makes me love him all the more, is that he really had the choice to do it or not to do it, or to call 10,000 angels or not to call them. 12 legions, more than 10,000. Remembering the song. But nevertheless, if he had that choice, this is why serving him is so wonderful. You got the same choice. This is why the reward will be so wonderful. Pastor, you got to pastor and you got to... No. No, not... You got to cause a revival. No. I could lay it down tomorrow and walk off from it. Lose a big part of my reward. But nevertheless, I'm still inside of him. I'm still born again. This is why being a free moral agent and a free agent, per se, inside of him, once you make the choice to go inside of him and live righteously and follow him, then this is why you get such a reward on the other side, is because everything that you so choose that can't be mandated to you. Even when we're talking about things like fasting. Now those can... Boy, we had a wonderful response. And you guys were really listening. And the Holy Spirit got it over real good. And there wasn't no law in it, was there? I mean, it's just love. And I prayed, God, don't let there be an ounce of law in this. Because the fact of the matter is, whatever you go forth in righteousness, it has to be because you so choose that you're willing and obedient. And Isaiah said if you were willing and obedient, you'd eat the good of the land. So the day and hour that you choose to walk into him, you secure a place in heaven, you bow your knee, you ask him to come into your life. But here's what the happy part is. From that moment on, every 5 minutes you spend in prayer, every fast that you go on, everything is calculated against the day that you're walking more fully into Him. There's no condemnation. There's no penalty for what you're not doing per se. You're just rewarded so much. No penalty as in loss of salvation. You're already at a square that cannot be reversed except you choose to do something that none of you would even possibly think about doing. But once you're in Him, you still have the choice to go in or not to go in, to pick up the Word or not to pick up the Word. And you won't be penalized in the sense of the word of your salvation on the part that you don't do. But my God, what you are rewarded on day after day is every time you choose to say, I'm going to section off a part of my life to go into Him as a free moral agent. Listen, Joshua was chosen as the next running successor to the authority over Israel because the Bible said that when Moses would leave the tent of tabernacle, when God would come and speak to him, and he would be in that place, and Joshua couldn't go on the inside, but he'd sit on the outward court. When Moses would leave, Joshua, the Bible said, would sit there and would not leave the tent of meetings. He'd stay. Listen, you're the one, not me, not even God, that decides how much of Him that you can have. Joshua wasn't chosen by random. He made Himself chosen. This is what Jesus taught. This is why the reward's so wonderful. Because any of us, we don't get penalized for what we're not doing in that sense of the word of our salvation. But we get rewarded for what we'll choose every moment of fasting, every moment of praying, every time you say, I'm choosing to spend let me stay a little longer in your presence. Moses left. Moses had done his duty in the presence of the Lord, but Joshua could have left. But Joshua said, I want what Moses has got. I want God to come and talk to me face to face. He could have left. He sat there alone because he wanted more of God. Here's the beautiful part. You're not going to be penalized this year. You're only going to be rewarded if you choose as a free moral agent to say, look, it's up to me. If I get more of God, it's not God, it's me. God's always there wooing and saying, come on, you can have all of me that you want. And here's the beautiful part. You have the capacity, just like Jesus, to say, nope, nope. Now here's where it'll show up. And it shows up here too. It'll show up here too. But where it'll really show up, here's where the penalty will really show up. Not in salvation. Those virgins that it talks about in the Word, those ones that were wise and those that were foolish. What was there? 10 of them, wasn't there? 10. 5 foolish, 5 wise. Well, you don't think that Jesus was referring to those virgins when he was talking about virgins and then talking about them being cast into hell, do you? They were virgins. That's why he used the spiritual analogy, that they were spiritually pure. They did have an election that they had made in him. The only thing is, the 5 foolish had lived out their life taking no oil. And when the time came to enter into the marriage, the door was shut. The door of what? The door of opportunity was shut. There was no longer any more opportunity to work the works of God while it is day. Then now is the time for you and I, but not because somebody's peering over your shoulder, not because a pastor's asking you to do it, but because you make it up in your mind to sit a little longer in the house of God. Pray just a little bit more. Don't go to the place where you just meet the debt, meet the requirement. See how you can go beyond what is required of you in this next year. Because you're a free moral agent. Those 5 virgins, they weren't cast into hell. They simply sat there and watched those who in this life chose to take oil in their lamps and say, I'm going to go into God and nobody can stop me and nobody don't even have to promote me. I don't have to have a kick in the hindside. You don't get a reward somebody kicking you and making you do it. I've had people, Pastor, we've all had this. Pastor, will you make me? If I fall out of prayer, I just go, no. That doesn't work. Will you hold me accountable? There's movements that have tried to hold each other. Listen, I'm not against holding each other accountable, but you're not going to be held accountable unless you're in a position where you want to be held accountable. And when they fell out of prayer, they didn't want to hear my voice anymore anyway. So the catch-22 kicked in. You're only going to be responsible for yourself and hearing this word. And when you respond to the word, sit a little longer. Read an extra chapter this year. Go into God more. Do what Joshua. Moses didn't say, Joshua, sit here because you'll be the next successor. He earned that right of the next successor because he had a hunger. When Moses left, he'd sit there and he hungered for God. Don't meet the requirement this year. Don't just meet the requirement. Don't just do what it takes to stay halfway, to stay saved and your head above water. Go beyond the requirement. Ask God what is His best for you this year. Ask God how you can go fully into His presence. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I didn't plan any of this. I didn't even know what I was going to say. He just come on me. This is where He wants us to be. We need some Friday nights this year where you don't have to. And here's the thing. There's something about our flesh that says, well, if I do it one time, it's going to be required of me. Hey, freelance this thing. Walk in the Spirit on it. Every moment that you spend is another, it's another place of adventure in His presence. But there, we need to spend some Friday nights where we spend an extra hour or two or three. We need to spend some time in our daily devotion where we don't just meet the requirement and say, okay, I'm good to go. I'm going to be blessed. Hey, do it because your heart says, what more is there? What's beyond the next hill? What's around the next turn? If I, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you sow to the Spirit, you're going to be reaping of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And as I said Sunday, and I was using that thing about the race analogy and all those guys running, 130 guys. But when those certain guys got ready, they just left the field not showing off. They had that in them. They left the field and run miles ahead of them and finished for the Olympic trials. In the last days, there'll be hundreds of people meeting together and we all meet together and you don't know where they're at. Sometimes I really don't want to know. But there will be times in the near future, and this is prophetic, where some of you are going to pull way ahead of the field. Pull way ahead in just what will be being accomplished in your life, the blessings, the miracles that will follow you, and it will be not because God's spotlighting you, it'll be because you choose to sit in the tent of tabernacles. You're not in competition with anybody except yourself. That's who you're in competition with. You're in competition with yourself. Can I sit a little longer? Can I read another chapter or two today? Can I lift my hands and magnify Him just a little bit more? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. Well, I preach myself warm again now. You can turn it. I keep telling Rex is having a hard time tonight. I get cold and then warm and like some of these precious late. That's right. Where? We'll never give up our Homer. Hallelujah. Frankie hasn't changed since the last time you've seen him. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. How many of you love the Lamb? Thank you, Jesus. So in the challenge that you're hearing these days from the pulpit, there's not even a tweak, or a little tiny twig, rather, of condemnation in it. It's all up to you. And nobody's going to be peering over you saying, look, that one's not, this one is, that one's not. It's a freelance kind of thing. You're a free agent. Free agent's a better thing. Free agent, you can do it. I like that. I like being in control of my future. Hallelujah. I could walk away, get to heaven, and not cause this revival. But a bunch of you would find me in heaven and just beat the tar out of me, probably. Pastor, we were with you all those years. And hallelujah. Hey, but why? Why, with such a glorious future in front of us, would we lay anything down? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So you just lift those hands, magnify Him. I exalt you, Jesus. I worship you and praise and magnify you. Hallelujah. How many of you will agree with me now for the supernatural blessings on the church? Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that this church has more than enough. It not only has enough, it just has more. As Gay keeps prophesying on Friday nights, Lord, there's baskets and baskets and baskets left over, Father. And I worship you and praise you and bless you in the precious name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Prayer will resume again this Friday night. So, and as I said, you know, if you just come one Friday night, two Friday nights, spend some time. We won't look for you every Friday night if that's not the way that the Holy Spirit's speaking to you. But sow some. Just sow some. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Well, how many would like to sow tonight? You get an opportunity. So if you're making out a check, it's to Family Prayer Center. Hallelujah. And the bucket man is coming forward. His wife's not here tonight to pray over this thing. Glory be to God. Call Marcia on the phone. Get her to pray. Let's just bless it. Father, thank you for everybody that's here. We want everyone to know how pleased you are in just the fact that we're willing to go forward. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we worship you. We thank you for this opportunity to receive this blessing. And we receive it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. I believe Matt's going to give us something. You can bring this forward. As far as I know, that's it. As far as I'm concerned, we had a good time. Amen. I'll see a lot of you Friday night.